And then it was also just cool noticing that I could do hard things. And there's actually a region in our brain that gets smaller when we don't push ourselves and do hard things. But it actually gets larger when we do continue to push ourselves and challenge ourselves.
Welcome to the Holistically Healthy Podcast, where I, Sedona Treganning, nutritional therapy practitioner and NASM certified trainer, bust health myths and teach you how to become the healthiest, most confident version of you.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Holistically Healthy Podcast. So I took a little bit of a break from recording and I was actually traveling for the past 3 weeks. And if you guys have followed me on Instagram, you know that I was in Japan and then also Thailand on a solo trip. And, you know, I took this trip to learn more about myself, to grow, to challenge myself. And that's definitely what happened. But the growth I experienced is a lot different than I thought it would be. I mean, I didn't really know what I was going to get out of the trip, but the outcome was definitely not what I had expected. And I wanted to record an episode just like super raw and real. I'm not really going to edit anything. I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I did want to share with you guys like my experience traveling solo in you know, two different countries and what really life-changing lessons I have learned from it. And I can tell you like, I've been home for 3 days now, and these have been like the best 3 days of my life, I feel like, just in terms of peace and happiness and just feeling so grateful. And yeah, let me share with you the whole journey, how that went, and let's get into it. Basically, like I said, you know, I wanted to book this trip because I wanted growth. If you guys have heard episode one, you know that I came from a background of having a lot of trauma, you know, physical trauma, emotional trauma, and had an eating disorder. I had, you know, panic disorder, anxiety, et cetera, gut issues. And through the past couple of years, you know, it's been a long journey of just slowly healing myself through meditation and mindfulness and, you know, healing my gut and my nutrition and all of that. And I feel like I have come so far, like I truly have come so far, you know, I don't have a lot of those symptoms anymore. I don't have panic attacks. I don't have anxiety really, but it's almost like I got to a place where I feel cool with how I am. Like, I feel like, okay, I could survive here, but I want to actually experience what it's like to feel amazing. You know, like I don't want to settle in my relationships. I want freaking amazing relationships. I don't want to settle in my business. I want to have an absolutely amazing business that I'm passionate about where I can live the life I want to live. You know, I don't want to just settle for, you know, having close relationships with my family. I want to have amazing relationships with my family. You know, I want to just get the most out of my life. So I was kind of feeling stagnant. I was feeling okay with where I was at, but I was like, okay, I feel like there's something missing. I feel there could still be an improvement in my life, especially, you know, with my business the past like year and a half, I've kind of just been coasting. Like I haven't really produced any new resources with my business. I haven't really changed anything, like improved anything. I've kind of just been doing the same things. So I was like, I feel like I need to change. I've always felt called to visit Japan because I really like anime and I really love, you know, meditation and Buddhism. I think that has been such a pivotal moment of my growing experience as a human being, is just like getting into Buddhism and studying that. And so I was like, Japan feels like a really great place to go. So this was, I think, like 4 months ago. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm single. I need a change. I need a challenge. And I need a new environment. So I ended up booking a trip to Japan. I did a ton of research. I picked three different places I wanted to go to. And the places that I picked because, you know, it's a new country. And so I don't know the language. So I wanted it to be a city just because I feel like if I went to the countryside, it would be even harder to communicate with people, which actually that wasn't even the case. And I'll get to that in a second. But I wanted to pick three different cities for that reason. And then I think that was like 2 weeks. And I was like, you know what? I'm flying 30 hours to get out there. I might as well go to Thailand while I'm at it. So then I added on, I think it was 8 days in Thailand because Thailand is so freaking cheap. And I went to Rayleigh Beach in Thailand, just like a single location, pretty secluded, just to like relax and unwind after all that travel. And also just to, yeah, not have any responsibility, just to be on the beach and just have time to really, you know, meditate on my life, think about where I'm going with my business and just have more downtime. Because, you know, I preach this all the time, but just having more stillness in your life is going to be a catalyst for growth. That's going to be the time where you have these reflections. You have so much stillness where you can be creative. And so that's what I wanted out of Thailand. I did this 3-4 months ago, booked the trip, and yeah, it came up really fast. you know, I did a lot of research. I learned some basic Japanese and I prepped for my trip, and then it just hit me. So yeah, the flight to Japan was about 30 hours. Actually, shout out to the universe. The universe had my back here. My flight went super smooth, and I actually, on my longest flight, it was like 11 hours, I think, and it was overnight. The plane was almost entirely packed except for my row, and I had the entire row to myself. So I sprawled out on the plane. That was so freaking amazing. I was like living my best life. I was like, wow, what a great way to kick off this solo trip is I can literally sprawl out, have three different pillows, three different blankets, and just read my Kindle until I fall asleep. That was pretty cool. But when I got to Japan, the first location that I went to was Tokyo. It was someone who is a health coach and who understands the body. It was pretty cool because when I got there, my body almost automatically regulated to the new sleep schedule, which is, it's actually a 13-hour difference. And, you know, I made sure to be aware of like blue light and getting sunlight before and, you know, doing my bedtime ritual, meditating, all of that. I was thankfully able to regulate my sleep schedule when I got there. But man, when I woke up that first day, the overwhelm kind of set in. I don't know. I wanted to save a little bit of money on this trip. Like, it was a long trip and I knew I was going to do a lot of excursions, had to get public transportation, and I didn't have a kitchen in my first hotel. And not only that, I didn't even have a freaking window, which I didn't even realize. So I had this super, super small room. Everything in Japan is very small. And like, it was like a bed and then you could walk two steps and then there was the bathroom and then there was the door. So it was very cramped. And that was like a little bit overwhelming to begin with. And then not only that, but I mean, in East Asia, they use like oyster sauce and soy sauce, which has gluten. And they have like a lot of ramen and noodles. And the two things I cannot have are eggs and gluten. That was in pretty much everything. So what I did was I was resourceful. I found a 7-Eleven near me and I got like, they had Greek yogurt there. And then I got a banana. And that was pretty much my breakfast for the entirety of Japan, like all of Japan throughout all the cities. That's all I could find for breakfast. It was pretty hard. So I had that. And then honestly, like, you know, I could go on forever about this trip, but I think the struggle was, you know, I was in a hotel. I had never solo traveled before, so I didn't know anything about hostels. And I was alone. I didn't meet any Americans, didn't meet anyone that spoke English. Like the first 6 days I was there, I was in a city. I don't like cities to begin with. I like being outdoors with my dog, cooking my own food. I tried to go to the gym and actually the gym wasn't open and I paid for it already. They didn't let me in. It was just really overwhelming, honestly. And at this point, I remember I was just like, what did I do? There were really amazing parts of it. Like the temples were amazing. Having that freedom of traveling solo, like I felt absolutely amazing, but also it was really hard. And I think this part of the trip, the one thing I learned was, wow, I can do hard things because, yeah, I was pretty lonely and just figuring out food was pretty difficult. And I also learned that talking to people is really essential because actually at the very end, my last day in Tokyo, I had met this American couple and I met them at this coffee shop and they were the first like people I had actually talked to since I had got there 5-6 days ago. And I remember I was talking to them and I like did not want them to leave because I was just like, oh my gosh, someone to talk to. And so I talked to them for like an hour. And when they left, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sad again. But you know, that was a big moment for me because as someone who was homeschooled and struggled with bullying, didn't have a whole lot of friends, you know, I always thought like, okay, I can do things on my own. I can be an independent person. And I think the fact that being alone was amplified so much just showed me how much I do need human interaction. That was like one of the first really big lessons for me was like, one, you know, I could do hard things. I can figure things out. I don't need to depend on people. But also I do need to depend on people for my mental well-being. And we just, you know, that's something I preach to clients too, is like going back to when we were in tribes and stuff, we needed to depend on people. Yeah, that was like the first lesson. But Tokyo was rough. It was fun, but I was definitely questioning things. So anyways, okay, fast forward to my next city, right? This is where I have to transfer from Tokyo to Takayama. And with the language barrier, that was really hard. Because I was trying to speak to the people at the front desk because I looked online and I was trying to book a train. And because you just assume everything's like America, right? Like Americans just assume all countries are going to be like America, or at least I thought that. when I was booking the public transportation, I realized that my suitcase might be too big. So I went to the front desk of my hotel. I asked them, hey, is there any way I can get to this next city? Like, how do I do that with my big suitcase? Long story short, she told me that there was no way I could do that. And so I had to pay a driver several hundred dollars, a private driver. Come to find out that actually I didn't need to do that, but I had to pay that out of pocket. And I ended up making it to my next destination. But that was another lesson I learned, is about money, because I could have gotten really upset about the fact that I had to pay that. But it's kind of like, okay, I have two options here. Either I get upset about it and then I'm miserable, more miserable than I was, or I just accept the fact that, hey, I'm traveling. This is an experience. This is a learning experience. You know, yeah, that sucks. I have to pay the money, but it is what it is. That was pretty cool. I felt pretty proud of myself that I was able to just let it go. And I ended up actually enjoying the ride to Takayama. And actually, Takayama was my absolute favorite city. If you have ever been to Japan or you're going to Japan, 100% recommend it. They actually have this thing called Hida Beach there. And they also, it's surrounded by mountains and countryside. So the food was actually super fresh. The sushi was absolutely amazing. I don't typically eat sushi in the States because it's not as fresh. So you have more risk of like parasites. And then also like, you know, tuna isn't great because it has a lot of mercury or swordfish. But man, the tuna in Japan, phenomenal. That paired with the beef. And then I also found a place that had vegetables because those are hard to come by. That was amazing. So Takayama, really liked a lot. My place also had a kitchen, so I did get some groceries. I was able to cook for myself. Still couldn't find a gym, but that experience was pretty great. And I think the learning experience from that place was that, you know, I was in a different scenario and I was taking calls with clients. So actually, let me back up. You know, when we like in meditation, and I was talking to my clients about this the other day, but in meditation and breath work, I think a lot of us, we want to have these transformational experiences every single time we do any type of meditation or breath work. And because we see people online when they do the meditation session and they're like, oh my gosh, I healed my childhood trauma in one session and all of this stuff. And it kind of puts a lot of pressure on you to like always expect something out of meditation. Like there is going to be some huge transformation. And then we never get that transformation because we're pushing it, right? So that was kind of the same concept here. I, you know, going into this trip, I knew I wanted to have some transformation. And I found that with this trip, when I had gotten to Takayama, I was feeling pretty defeated because I was like, all right, I feel like I'm just uncomfortable at this point. I feel like, you know, I'm not really noticing anything with myself, with my business. There is no growth here. And so that was actually the biggest lesson when I was in Takayama, was when I let go of trying to force growth, when I let go of any expectation, that's actually when I had a breakthrough with my business. One of the goals I had for myself was to plan out my year goals for my business for that year, obviously year, right? And so I was putting so much pressure on myself. And at one point I was like, I'm just going to enjoy my time here. I'm going to be a tourist, explore. And it was like the next day where I actually felt very motivated, and I sat down and I wrote out all my business goals and I redid my client intake form and I got so much done. And I think that was a huge moment for me too, because I think especially as women, we're supposed to be more feminine. I mean, there are going to be some parts of us that are masculine, but a lot of our true nature is nurturing and taking things slow and not pushing things or forcing things and being more emotional. And as a business owner, I feel like I'm always pushed in my masculine. I'm always, how can I do things? How can I do more all the time? How can I, you know, be a business leader? How can I push myself, do hard things? And for a lot of my life, I was always in my masculine. And I finally was like, you know what? I'm actually going to let things flow and I'm not going to force things. And that was pretty cool to see that I did have that breakthrough with my business. And that was really transformational for me. So that was another really big lesson. And, you know, Takayama was great. Like I said, I think that was one of my favorite places. I also was more like nature-y, which was really nice. There were like beautiful, clear streams running through the city. There were mountains. I got to go on a hike for the first time in like a week, and I almost cried because I saw the mountains and it was in nature. So that was really, really nice. And my last destination in Japan, again, I had to actually book a private driver again, which was another couple hundred dollars. And that was really frustrating, but I digress. And so my last place was Kyoto, and this was actually a hostel. And so I've never been in a hostel before. For those of you that don't know what a hostel is, there are a couple of options. And maybe I'm explaining this poorly because this is my first hostel, but basically it's like a place for backpackers and people who want to stay for cheap and want to meet people. They have it where it's basically a hotel, but you can get a room where it's like a shared dorm room with different bunks and everything, or you can get a separate room. And so I got a separate room because I was like, I really want to meet people, but also I need my space. And I was also taking work calls. So I got a room with just a small bed and a desk. And then what's really cool is they actually had a kitchen and they have like a shared meeting area. So guys, this was phenomenal. This was actually the turning point in my stay in Japan, because actually when I was in Takayama, I canceled my flights back home, canceled my flight, and I was going to book a new flight. And because I was so frustrated, it just was like, what am I doing here? Like, I don't feel great. I'm not going to the gym. I just feel like I'm not getting what I came here for. I don't feel like I'm growing. And, you know, obviously looking back, I can see the growth, but I was just feeling really frustrated. And I think I had gluten by accident, so that was screwing with my stomach, so it was making me more anxious. So anyways, I canceled everything, but I'm so glad that I didn't, because when I got to Kyoto and I got to the hostel, yeah, huge turning point. So basically, like I said, there's that shared space in the shared kitchen. And I have always been a shy person. Like, you guys know, again, with the bullying that I experienced and just the crippling social anxiety that I used to have, where I couldn't go out in public without panic attacks, you know, I've slowly healed that. And when I got to the hostel, I think it really just healed it even more. Like, I think that's probably honestly the biggest experience that I had with this trip, is just being able to talk to people. It was phenomenal. So yeah, I met so many amazing people at the hostel, and that really also solidified the whole fact of like having community just makes things so much better. I met some really amazing people. I walked around the city with some amazing people. I didn't really like the city. I think at that point I was totally done with the city scenario, but being around people was just so phenomenal. And that's also where I went to a meditation service. And part of the reason why I wanted to go to Japan was to actually meet real Buddhist monks that were practicing in the temples. And that's what I did. Actually, I did that in Takayama and then also in Kyoto. And one of the monks I met in Kyoto was just so amazing. And it was such a surreal experience. Basically, what he did was we did like a tea ceremony. And so we went to this beautiful temple. It looked like out of the movies, which was so crazy because I'm, like I said, I'm a fan of anime. And so I was like trying not to smile like an idiot when I was like there and I saw him, because it just looked so real. And I felt like I was in an anime. But so we basically started with a tea ceremony, and then he led us through a meditation and he talked to us after. And one of the best things that he had talked about was kind of like what I was talking about, where we always, like with meditation, we always think that we have to have this profound breakthrough, or we have to analyze our thoughts all the time. And that's just not the case. So he was just saying that meditation is just really, the purpose of it is just stillness, and to train yourself to be the observer of your thoughts and not get so involved with your thoughts, which I thought was such a great reminder, because at that point too, that's where I was also getting anxious about, why am I here? Why am I doing this? Am I wasting my time? And so, you know, applying what he said to my situation, I would be the observer of that. So rather than canceling my flight, be like, okay, I'm not feeling great right now, but that's okay. This is just a thought. I don't have to actually act on those thoughts. That was pretty cool. I really enjoyed that talk. Yeah, and just meeting everyone. I met people from Egypt. I met people from Qatar. I met people from Iraq. What was the other person? I met someone from Canada, from Russia. That was really amazing. And that definitely just gave me a boost of energy going into Thailand. And that was pretty crazy. Thailand was pretty amazing. Again, if you guys follow me on Instagram at this point, I wanted to just take a break from Instagram, and I really wanted to just relax after all the traveling, all the cities. I just wanted to really enjoy the nature. And this was pretty cool because, again, I was in more of my, in the past, I would feel like I had to work all the time. You know, I'm in my masculine. If I have the ability to work, why am I not working, right? Like, I must be lazy if I'm not working. But what was cool is I was able to fully unplug. I did take client calls, but I didn't feel like I had to push for clients. I had to work. And I kind of just trusted in the process, knowing that if I take care of myself and I take care of my own well-being, then my business is going to be taken care of. And that's kind of what happened. And I unplugged from Instagram and I just hung out in Thailand. And that experience was so amazing. What happened was I actually stayed in a hotel and I didn't have a kitchen. And at this point, though, Thailand was phenomenal, but I needed to go home. I needed to go home ASAP because I was just so like sick and tired of the food, because although I was eating quote unquote healthy choices, you still have to think about, okay, well, where is the meat sourced? Where are the vegetables sourced? What are they cooking the food in? They were sousing it in butter, you know, so it was definitely hard to eat. And at that point I was bloated and breaking out, which I'm not used to. And that was a lesson in, wow, I love being healthy. It's phenomenal. It's like one of the most important things ever. And I'm so glad I do what I do because, yeah, I just like feeling healthy. It's like everything to me. But anyways, I wanted to get home. But when I was in Thailand, I just really was enjoying the experience. So I did a couple of things. I went to a temple. But again, the most amazing thing was kind of just being free and just kind of going with the flow. I actually met some people at the pool. We ended up hanging out. We went to a reggae bar. Everyone was like singing in the bar, which is so crazy because the reggae bar, like, so in Thailand, for those of you that don't know, you can smoke weed and take mushrooms. You can buy weed and take mushrooms on the street. Like, it's everywhere. So that was really interesting. I haven't talked about this much, but I do like use plant medicine, I guess you can call it, because I hate saying, you know, I smoke weed or take mushrooms. Like, to me, it's not that. It's really, truly medicine. It's been a huge catalyst in my healing and my growth. And so it was so cool just to use weed and just hang out with strangers and just have these really amazing conversations and just be, you know. And something that was really cool too was when I was hanging out with people, you know, one thing that I really love for with marijuana and using that as a medicine is it helps you be more introspective. And so I was noticing when I was hanging out with people, there were still little parts of me that would get anxious or overthink things. And what was interesting was the girl I was with, she had never smoked before. She had never used marijuana before. And so she had smoked a little bit and she asked me, she was like, I feel like I'm getting a little bit anxious. Like, I feel like I'm overthinking things. And I remember telling her, like, just be. Whatever is coming up for you, just be, let it happen. And it was cool because that was also a really healing experience for me because I was like, wait, why am I getting anxious? Why am I overthinking what I'm saying to these people? And I took my own advice and I just was. And it was a really cool healing thing for me to just hang out with people and not really care what other people are thinking of me and just knowing that I'm a good person and that I'm fun to hang out with. And if, hey, they don't like me for whatever reason, that's okay. And so that was a really healing thing too. And so, yeah, so Thailand was really cool. I also, my last night in Thailand, I went to a fire show. So I actually booked I shortened my trip in Thailand and out of the blue, I ended up booking going to another island because someone had recommended it. So I ended up going to a fire show and they invited me on stage, which was pretty crazy. I feel like I never would have said yes to that in the past, but I was able to say yes and go in front of everyone. And it was a really cool experience. But then when I was walking home from that, I planned on going to bed and I walked by this bar and there's a boxing ring in the bar. And I asked, and there's just random people boxing. And so I went to the bartender and I asked, like, hey, can anyone just box? And so I actually have experience in martial arts and boxing. And so I volunteered to do it. And that was basically my last night in Thailand. So basically, they brought me up into the ring and held up my hand and walked me around the ring and asked anyone if they wanted to challenge me. And this like 45-year-old woman came up. We ended up boxing and it was really funny. I actually posted videos on my Instagram, but like, it was so cool. And the coolest part is to end off the trip, I boxed someone in a ring in front of hundreds of people, a packed like arena, and I didn't care. And I was just myself. And so that was just amazing. So, and then the next day I went home, the flight was terrible. That was a whole experience. Felt like shit after, but yeah. So that was kind of my experience with the solo travel. And, you know, I know I kind of alluded to all of these things, but like, I think, again, the coolest thing is one, realizing that I don't have to push myself all the time and just allowing myself to be in that feminine energy of just letting things flow and not feeling like I always have to do. Another thing was just accepting myself. You know, I think with all the years of growth, I felt like I didn't have social anxiety anymore and I felt like really grounded and I felt centered, but it's interesting because when you put yourself in different scenarios, it really shows you how much healing you have left to do. And after that trip, I truly feel so much better about myself. And then it was also just cool noticing that I could do hard things. And there's actually a region in our brain that gets smaller when we don't push ourselves and do hard things, but it actually gets larger when we do continue to push ourselves and do hard things and challenge ourselves. And actually, people who are obese have this, the region is smaller, and people that are in shape, it's bigger because, again, you're training that portion of the brain. And so I think that just doing the hard things on this trip was just a reminder of, hey, I can do hard things in any part of my life. I can, you know, help. I can get more education with my business. I can read a book and interpret that better. I can, you know, help my clients better. I can grow my business. I can create different courses for you guys. And so that was really awesome as well. And so those were most of the lessons, but I think the most profound thing, honestly, and this is going to go for anyone that's, you know, thinking about potentially solo traveling, is I think that I've always been interested in the nomadic lifestyle. And especially as someone who works online, I see people on my Explore page living out of the van and like posting pictures of these amazing national parks and like traveling to different countries and all of that. And I think that's also part of what inspired this trip was to be like, okay, can I work and have a more nomadic lifestyle, like living in different places and seeing cool scenery and just traveling? And honestly, I think that it was opposite of what I wanted. I think that I really thought it would be cool to travel, but coming back home, I'm telling you, I almost cried when I got home. And actually the day after, waking up in bed next to my dog, I did cry. Like I cried happy tears because it just showed me how important my health is and how important my true relationships are and also how much I love routine. I think that with traveling, yes, I could have had a kitchen and that would have made things easier, but it is so hard to, you know, find good food and good groceries and source good groceries. And it is really hard when you're not on routine to, you know, get things done and have your brain function properly. And it is isolating, you know, traveling. And of course, you meet really cool people, but you don't have your people, right? Like you don't really belong to a group, to a community. And so coming home has been so amazing. And I have never been so motivated, never been so happy, so grateful in my entire life. Like even just riding my bike with Gon, I went this morning and we went to our typical trail and I rode my bike with him and I came home and I made my own breakfast and I looked in the mirror and my skin is clear again and I just feel healthy. Like that to me, I think is the most important thing in my entire life. And I think I needed that trip to really realize it because I felt some discontent in my life and I felt like maybe I was missing something. And I think it just goes to show sometimes you just need to appreciate what you have more rather than changing something. I think that was the most important thing that I had learned. And I'm so glad I went on the trip because I don't think I would have learned that without that. So that was my experience, guys. I hope that you found this interesting. I'm so glad I did it, but I'm also so glad I'm home. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you got something out of this. And honestly, if you're thinking of traveling solo, do it. But also don't feel bad if you don't like it as much as you thought you did, because that was definitely the case for me. But anyways, thank you guys for listening. I do have some really amazing guests lined up for the podcast. And I know I'm going to be having Dasha on pretty soon. We're going to be talking about gut health. And yeah, I have some really cool people coming on. Thank you guys again. I hope you have a great rest of your day and I'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks again for listening to the Holistically Healthy Podcast. If you want more information or immediate help, head to www.wholenothingback.net and apply for coaching.